Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Duval.
Will you shut up, man? Listen.
Rolling along here live and local, it's Alex Kuhn and Rami Makhlouf here on 104.3 The Score, taking you up until Cubs pregame. The only live call of tonight's game, the only local call of tonight's game, the Cubs and the Yankees. Pregame coverage begins at 5:40, first pitch at 6:15 on 104.3 The Score and the Northwestern Medicine Cubs Radio Network. Rami, we
pregnant pause. There.
Yeah, like no, I stole Lawrence Holmes a bit. Shout out to Lawrence Holmes. In case you don't know, I'm Alex Kuhn, the executive producer of Spiegel and Holmes. Weekdays 2 to 6 on The Score. I'm alongside Rami Makhlouf, and Rami, getting back into the Bears, there was this. First of all, these national media beefs, they tend to drive me insane, especially with how the Bears and Caleb Williams have been covered over the last, we'll call it 2 years. But we had a little bit of a back and forth when Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen was discussing on 1010 XL in Jacksonville just how much motivation that his team gets from how his team is covered.
You know what I said to the staff the other day was, I go, guys, this is the best part of coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars. You don't have to make up telling your players stuff.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
have to make up the fire. You don't have to make it up. It's given to us every day.
Yeah.
And it's like a welcome. It's a gift from the heavens. From the, you know, you just scroll. I just go pull up my phone, look at the NFL Network website, and just pop up here.
And any
I'm
column.
Curious if I see any photos or anything about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think I'll just scroll right on through.
You keep going, yeah.
I think I'll see 40 pictures of Caleb Williams, and I won't see a single thing about any of our players on here. And so it's beautiful because it's like, yeah, guys, this is great. Thanks.
The gift that keeps on giving.
I'm going to tell all these guys how much you all think they suck, and we'll just keep going.
So, Rami, that was Liam Cohen. And, of course, later in the day, Bears head coach Ben Johnson was asked to respond to what Liam Cohen had to say.
With Caleb, I don't know if you saw this, but Liam Cohen of the Jaguars said it's very easy to motivate his players because nobody ever talks about them. All he ever hears about is Caleb Williams. I'm curious what you think about another coach throwing his name out there and whether you're dealing with the opposite situation here of hammering to your guys not to believe the hype.
Well, we're the number one regression candidate, so I think we got plenty of motivation ourselves. We talked about Caleb in the past. He's used to handling a lot of attention, so I'm not worried about that.
So, Rami, when you saw this little back and forth, what'd you think?
The hype, there is a lot of hype around Caleb Williams. There is no denying that. And Alex, we do have to ask ourselves, does the hype go farther than what was actually accomplished or what level of play you're getting? Like, if we're being real and being objective, I think we have to ask ourselves that question. And I think it's fair. Now, I may be being overstated by Liam Cohen and others and me working behind enemy lines doing a show in Milwaukee 5 days a week. You better believe I hear the Caleb Williams is overhyped and is not that good chatter up here. I get that plenty being a Bears fan behind enemy lines and working on a sports radio station with and talking to Packers fans. I hear that plenty. I think it might go a little too far, but Alex, can we acknowledge, can we admit that maybe not to the extent, as I hear it from Packers fans, maybe not the extent that Liam Cohen makes it seem like right there, can we look in the mirror and say, yeah, the hype is maybe a little bit out ahead of where Caleb Williams actually is at right now as an NFL quarterback. Is that unfair to say?
I think originally when he was first drafted, that was fair to say. And I was one of these people, by the way. I remember going back to watching him at USC and watching him at Oklahoma, and you heard the ridiculous comparisons about, oh, he is ready to he's plug and play, and he's the next Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to be Patrick Mahomes-esque as soon as he steps into an NFL locker room. It was ridiculous, right? And now, since then, the coverage of him has been in part absurd in the other direction. Like, we're talking about every little perceived tiff that he's had with Ben Johnson. How many times last year during training camp did we hear the national media freaking out? And honestly, Bears fans, rightfully so, at times freaking out about, mm-hmm. oh, Ben Johnson is working on, they did a 92-play walkthrough, and Caleb was struggling to get the plays in, and he struggled against the Vikings, and he's a bust, right? Like, the pendulum swinging, I have never quite seen an athlete where everybody is, like, the national media is so obsessed with him, right, that there's part that want to see him fail, there's part that don't think he's as good as the ridiculous expectations that were set for him when he was coming out of USC. And quite honestly, a lot of the coverage is gobbledygook. And the response to this, even right here, where you have a Jacksonville Jaguars head coach who's absolutely right. His team gets no coverage. It's been like that for a very long time.
Yeah.
Through many coaches, they've been bad for a long time. They've been poorly run, but they're coming off of a 13-4 year, and they don't get any coverage. You think that Liam Cohen isn't sitting there as much of a weirdo as he appears to be, and using that as motivation for his team? Of course he is. And at the same time, you think Ben Johnson, he's also right. He sees how much ridiculous attention that Caleb Williams has been getting since he came into the league, and he's saying absolutely every little slight. In fact, let's cue this cut up right now. We've got Clint Klaus on the other side of the glass. We've got Tyler Farengol here. Caleb Williams was asked by our man Big Ann Heron and the Bears play-by-play voice Jeff Joniak on Sirius XM how Ben Johnson motivates him. Let's take a listen.
He knows I'm really competitive. And so he says things, and he'll say things in our meeting. He'll bring up stuff for me that people have said about me or anything like that. And he knows it gets me going. Then obviously I want to, you know, we're on the grass. He's not saying those things on the grass. It's more, he knows I want to be perfect. I want to be at my best. I want to be the best. And so, you know, when I mess up, he gets on me and it frustrates me. And being able to get frustrated and understand, you know, where to correct, but also I got to cool back down and get ready for the next play.
Rami, Ben Johnson will repeat what other people say about Caleb Williams to Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and as he should. And you're right, Alex. Like in trying to give his own team some bulletin board material, Liam Cohen ended up giving Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson some bulletin board material, and that is something that Ben Johnson will use when given to him. And this will, if it not, has already been repeated to Caleb Williams that, hey, they're head coaches in this league, not just thinking it behind closed doors, saying into cameras and microphones, you're not as good as your ink. You're not as good as the hype that's being given to you right now. You're going to prove those guys wrong, or are you going to live up to what they're saying? That is 100% something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing what Ben Johnson probably has or already said to Caleb Williams, but that has or already or will be said to Caleb Williams at some point. That'll be played for Caleb Williams, what Liam Cohen said when he's making the case that there's some teams and some guys around this league that get more hype than they deserve, and we here in Jacksonville, the poor little Jaguars, nobody talks about us. Nobody even knows that we're here, no matter how good. And just to set the record straight, Jaguars were really good last year, especially in the second half of the season. Like, they should be feeling themselves a little bit. But once again, keep my quarterback's name out your mouth. Don't use him as the example of the guy who's getting too much hype. If I'm a Bears fan, or if I'm Caleb Williams, or I'm Ben Johnson.
Rami, you were wondering if Caleb Williams has heard this?
Yes.
He's already retweeted it. Man, this dude is a different kind of petty. I will tell you what, and like I said, it clearly fuels him. I think back to it was Shady McCoy the week of the Browns game, basically saying that Shedeur Sanders, paraphrasing, but Shedeur Sanders is better than Caleb Williams. He retweets it with the Rock, shut up, at the end of it. Like he is all over social media. He hears everything that everybody says about him. And to this point, it clearly fuels him on the field. Like, you wonder about a superstar. I know we're going to talk about Pete Crow Armstrong a little bit later, but there was a point this season where PCA was struggling. He had the incident with the fan on the south side, and he was really struggling. And I'm wondering, can he channel the negativity and make it into something that fuels him and makes him better at baseball as opposed to getting in the way? And then, Rami, what did he do about 10 days later? He hit a home run into the Tarps Off crew at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. And what is he hitting, like 500 since then?
Something like that, yeah.
And so, like, that is the mark of a great athlete, a great player. It just reminds me of the Jordan meme, and I took that personally.
I was just going to say, this is something that Michael Jordan did regularly. He would manufacture slights and insults. You know what I mean? Things that weren't even intended to be that. Michael Jordan would convince himself that somebody slighted him or insulted him or took him too lightly. And he would take that out onto the court and try and prove them wrong, whether they said it or they didn't. In his head, they said it, and he took it personally, and he let you know about it.
And that's exactly what Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson are doing right here. And here's the other layer of this that I find fascinating. We talked about this a little bit. Lawrence Holmes and Herb Howard, our guest at 3 o'clock, talked about this on yesterday's Spiegel and Holmes show. But Ben Johnson has a chip on his shoulder from being a self-made man. And I mean that in the sense of he picks a fight with Matt LaFleur. And then I think it's strategic when he does that. And he's not just picking a fight with Matt LaFleur when he does that. He's picking a fight with the entire Sean McVay tree, right? And his whole mindset is, I'm not a Nepo baby. I didn't come from the McVay tree. I didn't come from the Shanahan tree. I did this on my own. I have known that I'm going to be a Hall of Fame head coach on my own, and I'm able to blend all the things that I've learned and every stop that I've made. And I'm going to be a top three, top two, the best play caller in the league. And I don't care who is there to try to stop me. So you have Liam Cohen, who is a Sean McVay disciple, saying this. Oh, come on. Tell me that doesn't add even more fuel to the fire for Ben Johnson.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Abs. And Ben Johnson is that type, too. Like, we're talking about players who are that type, who need to, if it's not really there, need to sort of manifest or create slights or insults in their own head, create beef with other people in their own head. Ben Johnson is definitely that type of sicko as well. There is no doubt about it. Do you think he believes that they are a, as he put it, regression candidate? Do you think that, and that is, I mean, statistically speaking, I think they are. Like, when you just when you look at how it is, how difficult it is to sort of recreate or replicate the turnover numbers that they had last year, to recreate or replicate the number of one-score wins and comeback wins that they had last year. Like, the law of averages, if you're just going off that, says the Bears aren't going to be able to win football games like that again this year. Just the math says that they won't. Do you think Ben Johnson actually believes that that's the case, that they are a candidate for regression, and it keeps him up at night on how they don't regress this year and can recreate those anomalies next year if need be to win football games?
Do I think it keeps him up at night? No. Do I think that it's something that he's telling his team and it's something that is in the back of his mind that if we continue on this trajectory, the status quo, we may fall back a couple games? Sure. I do believe that. But at the same time, I think he's sitting there. Like, think about the confidence that we've heard from him this offseason. Like, somebody asked him, I think it was Patrick Finley a couple of months ago. They're like, are you worried about the rest of the league catching up to you? He's like, no. I'm not worried about it at all. So the way that he has conducted this offseason, where you bring in a Sam Roush, you bring in a Xavion Thomas, you now look at your offensive play calling and you realize, I've done things a certain way with a statuesque quarterback for a very long time. There were so many growing pains at the beginning with Caleb Williams. But now, when I keep hearing them say, no, we're the hunter, not the hunted, they don't think anybody can stop them. I've been around good offenses my entire life. Like my younger brother played at the University of Memphis when they were 3-9 the year before he got there. They flipped the script. They become one of the best offenses in the country and produce running backs like Daryl Henderson and Tony Pollard and Antonio Gibson. Anthony Miller was on those teams, former Bear. And you saw the swagger start to build, that it didn't matter who they lined up against. They played the likes of Kobe Bryant and Sauce Gardner at Cincinnati. They played teams like Ole Miss. Nobody was going to stop them. Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing that on a larger scale with a head coach leading an offense with a quarterback that is so multidimensional that he's like, Ben is thinking, yeah, I'm going to make great play calls. They're not going to get a beat on what I can do, what we're going to do. If they do, I've got a quarterback who's going to scramble out of it and make a play, and I've got weapons that are really good when the scramble drill does commence. Like, we've got guys that can play in rhythm. We've got safety blanket players like Cole Kmet. We've got guys like, we bring in Sam Roush and Xavion Thomas, who can help us when the play breaks down because of their speed and their ability to get into the flat and make plays. And going back to Steve Smith on that 89 podcast, he was pointing this out. He's like, this offense is still growing, but they have the personnel and the, what do you say? He's like, they got a pastry chef. They got a sous chef. They're in Times Square, and they're going to make a whole lot of money because they have that type of talent, even if it's young and still growing. So I think, yes, he thinks that. But at the end of the day, I still believe that he believes that people are kind of sleeping on how good this offense could be.
I saw a quote yesterday from Press Taylor, the new Bears offensive coordinator, and it sounds like you're in the same camp here, Alex, where he was basically asked, where does the belief come from that you guys are going to be so good? And he said simply, we have been. And we've heard similar things from guys in that organization, that there's that level of belief in Ben Johnson. The things that do concern you about the Bears, whatever they might be, and for me, it's just the defense as a whole.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
All but of it, yeah.
Specifically, the defense,
front seven.
Yeah. Does it put you at ease? Does it give you solace to just go after just 1 year of seeing who Ben Johnson is as a head coach and a play caller? To just say, yeah, we have been. Like, whatever other problems there might be and whatever might get in the way of winning football games this year for the Bears, we have been. Because I love what I saw from him in year one. I'm not ready to, like, to go there yet, to just have that kind of blind faith in that guy. Really, to have that kind of blind faith in anybody in the Bears organization just because of how long suffering a Bears fan I have been and everything I've gone through, to have just that sort of blind faith that whatever else goes wrong, we got that guy. And everything's going to be all right because we got that guy.
I've had that since like week... What week did they play the Ravens last week? They lost. And one of the things I talked about after that loss was when Ben Johnson comes out and says, this is what we did wrong, this is what I did wrong, it creates an atmosphere where you flush it and you move on. And I'm not ready to say that this is a Super Bowl contender by any means yet. I want to see how the rest of this camp looks, and I want to see how the defense especially looks. Like, can Dennis Allen do what he's done his entire career when working with an offensive-minded head coach and coach him up? Like, this is where the shift is coming that I don't think Bears fans, they've never really experienced this at a successful level yet. They have not experienced an offensive-minded head coach coming in and saying, yeah, we're going to spend a lot of our capital on offense. We're going to make our offense really good. Nobody's going to be able to stop us. I don't care if it's snowing, if it's raining, if it's 100 degrees out. Nobody's going to be able to stop us. And oh, by the way, we got a defensive coordinator who's not going to go anywhere, who's done well in the past with an offensive coach, where we're not going to give as many resources to him and make things go. Now, will that work? That's still the concern, right? Like, I'm still concerned about the defense because I have eyeballs and I watched last season, right?
Right. Yeah.
But that's why I go back to the run defense. And if they can improve that, I would just take that in a heartbeat. But when it comes to the offense, Rami, if you're asking me, do I have that type of faith in the offense with Ben Johnson? The answer is yes.
Okay. I want to get there. I do want to get. I want to get there, Alex. You're a younger man than me. You haven't been through. You haven't been through as much as I have. You know what I mean? I got more battle scars than you do as a Bears fan. So it's gonna be a little hard for me to get over the trauma that I've experienced over my lifetime as a Bears fan.
And you don't have to be there yet. And I wouldn't ask you to be there yet. But I look, as I said, like, I look at the personnel that they have added on the offense. And I cannot wait to see what it looks like. We're two weeks from today from the first preseason game.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah,
we're gonna stay on the topic of the Chicago Bears. We are live and we are local until 5:40 p.m. where we're gonna hand you off to Cubs baseball as the Cubs take on the Yankees. I'm Alex Kuhn alongside Rami Makhlouf. When we come back, the Bears have a lot of decisions to make when it comes to contract extensions, and one of them includes right tackle, all-pro right tackle, Darnell Wright, who called Ryan Poles bluff. We'll discuss next on The Score.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love!
Well, I think his approach and professionalism is what stood out from the start of the springtime a year ago up until this point. He just continues to get better. When you watch us on offense, we're certainly a little bit more right-handed than left-handed, and that is with him in mind. I mean, I think he's one of those tackles that's a powerful player and can displace guys off the line of scrimmage. And so when you have that available, it's such a luxury that you really want to be able to sink into it. And he's proven that he can do that and carry the load, if you will, a lot of times in the running game on his back. And so very pleased with that. I think Roshar and Kyle DeVan have done a phenomenal job just staying consistent and steady. His discipline continues to get better. Just like I said, the professionalism with which he enters the building just continues to get better every single day.
Bears head coach Ben Johnson talking about right tackle, all-pro right tackle, Darnell Wright, coming off of the best season of his career in 2025. Alex Kuhn, executive producer of the Spiegel & Holmes Show. We are live and local. I'm hanging out with Rami Makhlouf until 5:40 when the Cubs and Yankees will commence from Wrigley Field. The pregame show will start at 5:40. Dustin Rhodes in for Zach Zaidman today. Pat and Ron will have the call at 6:15. We're going to get into a little bit of baseball at the top of the hour as both the Cubs and the White Sox are buyers, right? They're contenders. Going to be buyers prior to the MLB trade deadline, Rami?
They better be. Quick tease of what I'm going to say later. They damn well better be.
They better be, especially for the Cubs at, we're going to talk about pitching, relief pitching. More on that and why they should spend on relief pitching at the deadline. At the top of the hour, we're taking your texts and your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And Rami, I'll ask the listeners this, something that we discussed. For me, it was Jalen Johnson's health, the health of the cornerback crew. What, if as a Bears fan, makes you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat worrying about? What was it for you, Rami?
Well, I brought up a couple things. One, Josh Jacobs making four Bears look like Mo, Larry, Curly, and Shemp, all four of the Three Stooges, and then Roma Dunze and the foot injury, and him saying that he's now facing a new norm. Even though he tried to clear that up, like I want that guy to look like a top 10 pick this year, and I think it needs to happen this year before we start looking for other guys that can be that elite number one wide receiver for Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson's offense.
What has you worried as a Bears fan? 312-644-6767. Now, you heard Ben Johnson talking about Darnell Wright, the Bears' outstanding all-pro right tackle, going into the final year of his rookie deal with the opportunity that the Bears could pick up a fifth-year option on him. But he's looking for a new contract. And Rami, the offensive tackle market continues to go up. Now, Tristan Wirfs is at the top of the market at about a little over $28 million per year. We saw Brian O'Neill of the Minnesota Vikings get a contract extension of 4 years and $96 million, so $24 per year. For O'Neill, who is six years older than Darnell Wright, who will be 25 as the season starts. So a lot of people are wondering, the Bears didn't do a whole lot in free agency to address a lot of their needs. People were wondering, is that because next offseason you're going to have to worry about a contract for not only Caleb Williams, but your starting right tackle? This was Bears general manager Ryan Poles. We'll play these clips back to back. This was Bears general manager Ryan Poles talking about what is next for not only a contract, but for Darnell Wright to improve in this league.
Yeah, I think it's just consistency. We all see the flashes and the stacks of plays that he puts together, and it's really impressive. Can he be consistent day in and day out? That's the key part for Darnell.
Is that a deal that you would like to get done sooner than later with Darnell Wright?
I think there's a window to get a deal done, and then, you know, at some point we got to go play football. So we'll figure that part out. But obviously, I think I've said it before, Darnell's a guy we want here long term. It takes two sides to get things done. But at the end of the day, I don't want any distractions or anything like that. So when it's time to go play football, we'll go play football and keep it moving. But yeah, he's a guy we would like here for a while.
So that's Ryan Poles' consistency. And it takes two sides to get a deal done. Now, this was Darnell Wright, I believe, yesterday, after practice, being asked about the contract situation.
My main focus really is just football, you know, being as best as I can be for the team. Obviously, I mean, I know I'll be here for a long time, hopefully my whole career. So those things kind of handle themselves. But I mean, I just got to stay focused on, you know, the main things. And that's just getting better consistency every day. So
is your preference to get that done sooner than later?
I mean, I'll be on the Bears for a long time. So it doesn't really matter to me, you know. So,
oh, man, I ain't going anywhere, man.
You know what?
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
I just heard right there?
Yeah, what'd you hear?
Because I read the quotes, but you know what I just heard right there in Darnell Wright's voice? I think he's saying, I have more job security with the Bears than Ryan Poles does.
Uh-huh.
Like, if it's not Ryan Poles signing me to extension, somebody's gonna, you know, like, I'm gonna be a Bear. They need me, and I'm going to be a Bear, and if Ryan Poles doesn't recognize that, somebody will, and somebody is going to pay me.
And every time that you have a Ryan Poles or somebody come out and say, oh, well, we want to see a little more consistency, maybe we're going to wait, that bill is going to go up, and it's going to go up. And to the point where he may get a contract richer than Tristan Wirfs or right at Tristan Wirfs' level. Now, here's the interesting part about this, because if you heard our 3 o'clock segment with Herb Howard of the Bigs, and we're so happy to have Herb along for the ride as one of our correspondents during training camp. You're going to hear him throughout training camp right here on The Score. He joined Spiegel and Holmes yesterday with Lawrence, and he made a really, really good point. Ryan Poles needs Darnell Wright.
Yes.
Why does Ryan Poles need Darnell Wright? Because this is not a situation, Rami, where you have it's Roquan Smith, where he's like, yeah, we just don't pay off-ball linebackers that amount of money. This isn't a situation where you're like, oh, Jalen Johnson, he doesn't get a whole lot of interceptions. Why is that not this situation? Because he didn't draft those guys. Ryan Poles traded back. He traded back. Passed up on Jalen Carter out of Georgia. Jalen Carter has become an all-pro in this league, and he just got a four-year, $152 million extension. So to me, when I hear that, when I hear Darnell Wright, like, I'm going to be a Bear. What are we talking about? That's like, okay, you can keep holding out, Ryan. You can keep holding out, and that number is going to go up, and I'm going to get paid more and more and more, and I'm still going to be a Bear at the end of the day because you have absolutely no leverage. Now, you can come out and say, oh, we need to be more consistent. And I think pass protection-wise, there are things you can nitpick with Darnell Wright and say he could improve in pass protection and he could improve with his consistency. But what you heard from Ben Johnson in that cut coming in here, what tells in the entire story. The fact that the Bears went from the bottom of the league in rushing attack to near the top, and they ran the ball to the right behind this guy.
Right.
The whole time, the whole year, effectively, until teams like the Lions late in the season and the Packers and the Rams did something to take it away, tells you, he was maybe your most important offensive weapon last season. So, I know that the Bears and Poles, he's done this negotiation in public before, but this one just feels very empty.
Yeah, he can't afford to let anything happen here but an extension. And I might have overstated when I said he has more job security than Ryan Poles. He certainly has more leverage in these talks than Ryan Poles does. The Bears need him, but even more than that, Ryan Poles needs him to be extended and be a member of this team moving forward, just for his resume as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Before last year, I could count on one hand the number of quality draft picks that Ryan Poles had in his time as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. You could argue that Darnell Wright was the one indisputable. Like, you can't argue that that was a draft pick that was worth it. And so, yeah, he needs to re-sign that guy. He needs that as badly as anybody in the Bears organization. Just get it done, man. Just get it done and stop all this. Like, don't definitely stop doing it in the media and in the press. At the risk of, you know, alienating or offending or pissing off Darnell Wright with you pointing out or telling people what he needs to do better for you to pay him. He's shown enough that he should be getting paid like right now. Give that man his money, as once was said in Rounders.
Does it concern you with the lack of spending that we saw this past offseason? The statistics out there that the Bears have really—they didn't spend any cash over the cap, meaning like they didn't restructure any contracts to make room for anybody who came in until they had to secure their draft picks and sign those guys. The looming stadium debacle. No, we're not talking about that story today. I promise. Don't turn that. I can hear people switching the dial immediately. We're not talking about that. But the looming stadium stuff. The looming fact that Caleb Williams is going to get several hundred million dollars guaranteed. And now if Jalen Johnson performs this offseason, we could go into a next offseason with Jalen Johnson, Rome Odunze, Darnell Wright and Caleb Williams all looking for new contracts. Does that concern you?
I can't tell you how much it concerns me and irks me that the Bears have to watch every penny that they spend right now and in their salary cap picture, because Alex, I've been hearing for years that the golden ticket to Super Bowl contention is having like the all-pro level quarterback on the rookie contract.
Yep.
Now we got that, and we're still pinching pennies and looking at the salary cap and can't add in an offseason when you should be adding. To me, that is damning to Ryan Poles and what he's done to the salary cap to this point to be in this position. This should be the most freewheeling and free spending that you can be in the Caleb Williams era while he's still on this rookie contract, and it feels like they still have to be frugal and watch every penny that they spend. This they shouldn't be in this position right now. There should be money to spend during this window, during this rookie quarterback contract window. There should be money to spend, and because of mistakes that Ryan Poles has made here in recent years and contracts that he's given out, you're not in that position. And yeah, by next offseason, it could get worse because of that list of guys that you just gave me that are going to need or at least really want new contracts by next offseason. How are they going to make that work? And I know that there's always like some finagling and maneuvering that you can do with
the salary
cap.
Yeah, but they're not doing it, Rami.
They're not doing that, yeah.
And that points at ownership, which I would go back to the Adam Schefter with Mike Greenberg. Oh, they're broke. They don't have any money, Greeny. He was so perturbed when asked about the situation. Oh, could they be in on Max Crosby? Could they be in on Dexter Lawrence? Could they be in on Vita Vea? And really past the whole Max Crosby thing, it became apparent that the Bears just, for whatever reason, may not be willing to spend cash over the cap to restructure contracts to bring more talent into the building. The 224 texting in, he was playing with one arm, that being Darnell Wright. Yes, he was. And that is all the more impressive what he was able to do last year. And the 312, they can cut a ton of money next year. This is true, but if you're adding $160 million to the books with Darnell Wright, and guys, Caleb Williams is not taking a discount. I'm just going to let you know that right now. He's not taking a discount. So,
nor should he. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you cut, you're going to have to it's going to be very interesting next offseason with this situation. And like you said, Rami, it is frustrating that this was the year to go for it. This was the year to add and put yourself into a position and spend and like I said, go for it. And they just, for whatever reason, were not able to do it. If you want to get in on the conversation, 312-644-6767. We're going to be with you for another hour. We are live and local. Myself, Alex Kuhn, alongside Rami Makhlouf until 5:40, when the Cubs and the Yankees pregame show will get underway. We need to take a timeout. We're going to switch gears to baseball. The Cubs, the White Sox, they're both contenders. The trade deadline coming up at 5:00 on Monday. But this Cubs, Rami alerted me to this. This Cubs season is looking mighty familiar results-wise, even if the road to these results has been a little bit different here in 2026. We'll tell you about it next on The Score.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
Pete will hit a high fly ball into deep right field. Back goes Walker. That ball's got a chance. Gone. Two-run Crow Armstrong. Cubs lead 2-0 here in the 10th inning.
As soon as he hit it, he knew it. He threw the bat down, looked at the Cubs dugout, and watched the ball sail well over the right field wall. A long home run for Pete Crow Armstrong and gives the Cubs a 2-0 lead.
Pete Crow Armstrong's home run the other night against the Cardinals. Pat and Ron on the call. They'll be on the call tonight right here on The Score. The only local call of tonight's game is it's a Fox broadcast. You can tune into The Score 6:15 first pitch, 5:40 for the pregame show. I'm Alex Kuhn alongside Rami Makhlouf with you for another hour. Enjoyed the Bears talk as I know Rami has, as well as the training camp is underway and the pads are coming on Monday. So we'll have plenty of coverage this week on The Score from Halas Hall. You're going to want to be tuned into Mullion Hall, Rahimi Harrison Grody, and Spiegel and Holmes all week long for coverage of the Bears. But I want to switch gears to a little bit of baseball for a second. And Rami, first of all, I want to talk about that home run that Pete Crow Armstrong hit. I know it came in a loss, but there was a lot of discussion about the bat flip. A++.
Oh,
I've had my criticisms of PCA and whether it's like some of the stuff's a little performative. Not that one. That was a badass bat flip.
I don't know that I've ever seen a bat flip like it. You know,
no.
Like I think he created a new style of bat flip. I don't think we've seen that before.
The drop the bat, pause to drop the bat, look over to the third base dugout, pump the chest a little bit. Just A plus stuff.
It was like a bat from flick. PCA. Like it was just like a flick of the wrist. Like here, take this. You know what I mean? I've never seen that before. And yeah, I heard Dustin on the morning show, and I think somebody else
shout out Dustino
on the show. Appreciate it. And he'll be part of the call for the Cubs game today. That maybe that woke up the St. Louis Cardinals.
No,
I don't think it did.
They are two games under 500.
They're not a good baseball.
They're
team.
Bad.
And it makes me happy that they're not a good baseball
I thought
team.
For a second, like, oh, Jordan Walker's now turning into a star. That changes the calculus of things. Well, he's been slumping since the deadline, and so have the Cardinals. But that's not what we want to get to. Rami, why don't you explain to the people how this Cubs season, you alerted me to this, Cubs season has looked mighty similar to some of the in the recent past.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine sent this along. I didn't realize this until it was sent along to me, and I sent it along to you, Alex, that the Cubs, the last 3 years have had almost identical records at this point in the season. Now they've played a couple games since this graphic was sent to me, but 2024, they got their 62nd win when they had 44 losses. They were 62-44. 2025, they got their 62nd win when they had 44 losses. They were 62-44. And then this season, they got their 62nd. They were a little bit behind pace. They got their 62nd win when they had 47 losses. They were 62-47. Like they have followed almost the same exact script to this point in the season of the 105-110 game mark of reaching that mark of 62 wins. And I look at it and I go, man, I hope this year is different, because what we've seen the last couple years at this point is disappointment from this point on, and a team whose performance dips from this point on. Now, they don't have the division lead to let it slip away this time. The Brewers have been dominant from wire to wire to this point in the season, but I hope they take it to another I hope the arrow keeps pointing up for this Cubs team rather than starts pointing down, and they can go into October on a high note. And if not overtaking the Brewers in the National League Central, be, you know, far and away the best wild card team and get at least one home playoff series if that's at all possible.
A lot of that's going to depend on what they do before Monday at 5 p.m. And we're going to get into all of that here at the top of the hour. But to your point, this has been one of the most bizarre Cubs season I can remember, where you have two 10-game winning streaks and a 10-game losing streak, and things have leveled off to a point where you're sitting here with Cade Horton, Justin Steele on the shelf, You look at Ben Brown, who not a whole lot was expected of and was having a great season. He's now on the shelf. Shota Imanaga comes back, and he's anchoring your rotation. Dansby Swanson had been awful for long stretches of the season, and he has returned to close to the back of his baseball card level. You have Alex Bregman, once again, awful for most of the season, and he's kind of leveled off to a league average player. This Cubs season, it's just like, it's shocking with this core, whatever you want to say about them, how consistently they reach the back of their baseball card year in and year out.
Yeah.
All of them.
That's essentially what's happened this year. And to give you along those lines a reason for optimism and why this home stretch might be different than past years and home stretches that we've seen from the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, Alex Bregman got off to a very slow start for the Cubs this year and did not live up to that contract that he got in the offseason. Have you seen his numbers in terms of OPS from month to month for Alex Bregman career-wise? And it's been remarkably consistent year to year.
Notoriously slow starter.
That it follows this pattern in March, and there are very few games played in March. He has a 497 OPS, but small sample size. We'll throw that out. April, 799. May, 804. June, 815. July, 835. August, 963 career OPS for Alex Bregman. And then he cools off a little bit in September, but is still a very, very potent batter at the plate with an 828 OPS. And he's kind of, now he got off to a slower start than that 799 OPS that he had in April. He got off to a slower start than that for the Cubs this year, but if he follows that trend, we're about to see the hottest version of Alex Bregman that we've seen yet in a Cubs uniform here in the month of August. And I think that there is a potentially a ripple effect of that in terms of the guys around the batting order around Alex Bregman and the types of pitches that they'll see and the type of damage that they could do. He might be the key as to why the closing stretch of this season could be different than what we've seen here in the last couple of seasons when the Cubs were in almost the same exact position.
825 OPS in the month of July. So like you said, that was up from a June where he had a 648 OPS this year, 687 OPS in May, and a 716 OPS in April. And this is the month where you expect him to get hot. We are seeing it from Nico Hoerner. He is starting to get hot. And this lineup, when this team has been successful this year, has carried this team. And we've seen so many injuries with the starting rotation. Will they address them at the trade deadline? And we're going to get into that a little bit next, but not just the starting rotation. I want to know about the bullpen as well, because this has been an area that has been there's been a lot of noise around. They're near the last in the league in strikeouts per nine innings. They're near the bottom of the league in velocity out of the bullpen. You would think they would need to spend on bullpen arms, but will they? We're going to discuss all things MLB trade deadline surrounding the Cubs and the White Sox. Alex Kuhn, Rami Makhlouf, we've got Clint Klaus and Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass as we roll on for another 40 minutes right here on The Score.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.